in the name of Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters of the selfless Savior, reasonable people judge others in reasonable ways. One eye for one eye, the saying goes. Repossession is reasonable for late car payments. So many years of prison is reasonable for so much violence or pain inflicted. This much suffering is reasonable for causing this much suffering. It almost seems that today's society has made the judicial system into a sort of mathematical science. This much is reasonable for driving without seat belts. This much is reasonable for driving over the speed limit. This for driving while intoxicated. This much for causing a collision and fatal injury to someone in another car. And this very reasonable mathematic approach is alive and active in every area of our public and private lives. You wronged me this much, you hurt me this much, you disappointed me this much, so you're going to pay this much. No more, but importantly, no less. Some commentators have said that an eye for an eye was for its day an attempt to stop the vicious circle of revenge in which a greater amount of punishment was desired from the beginning of the violence. Not an eye and a tooth, but an eye for an eye. A kind of enlightened, civilized axiom for dealing with sin and evil, the commentators say. Yet what does this kind of reasoned, scorekeeping approach do for the saving gospel of the cross of Christ? How much did Jesus have to do to make an exact payment for your sins and my sins? What measure of sacrifice must have been reasonable for the Son of God to endure? Today's text reminds us of an altogether different kind of reason and response to injury and rebellion and hatred. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul goes on to say, this saying is sure. This morning our eyes are focused on the true reality of God's mercy and loving kindness and grace and the fallen human distortions and limitations we daily place on Christ's way of salvation, on Christ's way of sacrifice, on Christ's way of justifying us and sanctifying us. Poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. A phrase that especially reminds us of the gospel way of doing things. Through St. Paul, the Holy Spirit reveals not a drop-by-drop salvation, not a just-enough-to-squeak-by salvation, not merely a so much salvation for so much transgression way of doing things. We are brought back to the waters of our baptism, a generous, more than necessary pouring out, a salvation by flood. How richly has salvation been poured out for us? Richly, a gospel word with a promise of forgiveness and restoration beyond the merely necessary, and far outweighing the this for this much way of doing things. Jesus has justified us and is sanctifying us in a poured out way through our baptism, through his body and blood, through the Spirit richly nourishing us through the Word. through the generous more than enough absolution in the face of repentance. The world daily advances the notion that this much is required for this much, and we can easily lose sight of this richly poured out salvation, and this richly poured out Spirit, and this richly poured out Savior. Christ's way of salvation is much more than daily vitamin pills of faith. There is no receiving 100% of the minimum daily requirement for true redemption. Christ, through the Spirit and St. Paul, freely offers to us this morning the assurance that he has done all things richly. He has done all things generously. He has done all things unsparingly, unselfishly, lavishly, mercifully, graciously. Can God create a boulder too big for him to lift, goes a popular mental riddle. But this morning we are brought back to the real mystery. It is the mystery of the Trinity, the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of the cross. A mystery of richness and undeserved abundance. God, through Christ, has saved us and keeps us in his flock with more than what is necessary, with more than what is mandatory, with more than what is required. Every day, the news reports the fluctuations in exchange rates. Exactly so many German marks for so many German francs, for so many Hong Kong dollars, for so many Mexican pesos. And more often than we are comfortable to admit, we have made our salvation an exercise in exchange rates. I need to do this much during this week, or they need to spend so much time doing this for the church, or Jesus needs to do that much for this amount of unbelief. We try to exchange the cross for some sort of mental calculator. But again this morning, the gospel comes freely to remind us that our understandings are too often tight-fisted. The word comes to us and assures us that true joy and thanksgiving are responses to the revelation that Christ didn't have to do anything for all our self-inflicted misery. Christ didn't have to lift a finger for us, yet he richly saved us, offering his life on a cross. For scheming mathematicians we were. He gave unsparingly, and we are reminded through the text again that salvation is once again offered by grace. Listen to the words again of our text. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. May our merciful Savior sustain in each of us the faith poured out at our baptism, the God-created faith in the true promises of Christ, the promise that he will continue to richly forgive and save sinners. May the righteous one lead us again today to despise any perceived righteousness of our own as the filthy rags they are, strengthening our trust in the one thing trustworthy, the rich incarnate Word of God. For Jesus' sake.